for each one that's here this morning. It is our interest in your prayers that the Lord would meet with us. I want to first recognize the fathers that are here this morning, and this is Father's Day, and while it's a day the world has set aside to give special recognition, honor to fathers, it was God that ordained that institution, place of fatherhood. And it seems like it's almost vogue in the world in which we live to run men down. Have you noticed that? It's almost fashionable to I've heard the statement, there's just no good men left. And I've heard that repeatedly. I take exception to that. And I am thankful that there are still some good men left. And I believe those good men are represented here this morning. And I would that God would bless all of you, and especially the fathers today, that the Lord would just pour out a special blessing in your life and give all of us the strength and the grace and the courage to be the men that God would have us to be. I am considering the message the Lord has put on my heart to share this morning is entitled Priorities of the Perfect Man. I'd like us to begin over in the 37th Psalm. Psalms 37, in the 37th verse, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Says to mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now, when he said to mark, he meant to take note of the perfect man. And a perfect man, we may sit back in our pews this morning and say there are no perfect men. And there are no perfect women. In the sense that everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has needs in their personality or in their makeup. All of us have areas that God is working on and God is perfecting us in. But when he said perfect here, the word denotes completeness. Take note of the man that is complete. It was talking about a righteous man. Because a man that does not have God in his life is incomplete. We are only complete when God is in our life. And so David is saying here, take note of the man that has God in his life and behold or lift up the upright, because the end of that man is peace. In other words, if you look and examine men who have given their lives to God and given it all that they had, the end of their life was peace. They're in heaven with God. But I'm going to go a step further and say that not only do we have heaven to look forward to if we will be perfect and complete in God, do you know that we're going to have a blessed old age? I've looked at people that did not have God in their life, people that were not having their priorities straight, and they get to the end of life, and we're all old if God tarries, if we live that long. They're old and they're lonely and they're broken. My children won't speak to me. My wife, I'm estranged from my wife. Don't have any community left. I don't have family, and I'm stuck off in a nursing home and nobody ever comes to see me because I live my life selfishly. I live life for myself. Do you know that if we want our end, and this applies to the men, but it also applies to all of us to a large extent this morning. If we want our end to be one of peace, it's going to take practical, meaningful action today. It means that when I get old, sometimes I wonder, but if the Lord allows me to get to old age, I don't want to be a broken old man that doesn't have anybody that loves me. And if I want to get to old age and still have family and friends and relationships with people, with heaven, the hope of heaven before me, it means that it's going to change the decisions that I make today. It means I'm going to have to reprioritize some things in life, that my priorities would be in order, that my end would be blessed. And so David says, mark the perfect man. Take note of the one that seems complete. The one that has good relationships with people. The man that has good relationships with a good relationship with the Lord and has heaven to look forward to, take note of his life. Do you know any perfect people today, any perfect men? And again, remember what I said, that means complete. He's talking about the righteous. And I would like to define it for the purpose of this discourse this morning, priorities. The priorities of the perfect man. Do you know some people like that? Men that you look on their life and they've been blessed in their life. And you say, that's the kind of end I want to have. I will say I have been blessed to know a number of people. I have a father that had his priorities straight. And it's my desire in my life, and it's my purpose as a father. I want to be able to pass along and impart those same priorities to my children. So it behooves us to look around this morning, not as being critical, but it behooves us to look around and take note. Where have God's blessings been? And if I see God's bless someone's life, you know, my question is, what did you do? How did you live your life? And I'm very interested in, and I know others are. You see people that have raised their children successfully. And you wonder, what did you do? You know, when these things arose, how did you handle it? Because I want to be successful. I want my end to be blessed. And I want my children's end to be blessed. Well, it's going to take some practical changes in our lives today. It's going to take some practical action in your life this morning if you want to be blessed as you grow old. Life is so busy and there is much to do. You ask about anybody, how are you doing? And you know what everybody says about, I'm too busy. That's life. That's the time that we live in. Some people are busy doing this, but they're busy. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is busy. There is always, does anybody here not ever have anything to do and you just say, I have nothing to do? If you do, there is work for you to do. You need to get up off the couch and get to work. There are things for people to do. If not for your family, for the kingdom of God, there is work to do. If you say, I don't have anything to do, go get a job and give all the money to the work of God then. But there's something to do. You get the point? There's work to do for the Lord. Well, life is busy. And all of us have things to do. And we do not need to feel guilty about being busy with taking care of our children. And I say that especially to the wives and the mothers today. Sometimes the enemy would like to come along and say, well, you're just not doing anything for the Lord. And you're spending your time raising your children. That is your first mission field. And I will say, I'm going to go a step further. I'm preaching to myself too. My first mission field is my family as well. I do not believe it is biblical to espouse the idea that we can forsake our own family and go minister to somebody else when we're not ministering at home. We can only minister above and beyond what we are capable of ministering on our own homes. Mark the perfect man. In the busyness of life, the priority of the perfect man, what is his number one priority? Y'all tell me. The perfect man, what is his number one priority? It's what? It's living for Jesus. And isn't that scriptural? What did Jesus say over in Matthew in the 6th chapter in the 33rd verse? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How are you doing? Oh, I'm just staying too busy. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you want your end to be blessed, if you want to grow old, and even in your young age, you want to be blessed, it's only going to be found by seeking first the kingdom of God. There are too many things that are vying for our time and our affections this morning. There are too many things that are pulling on us, and it takes a definitive choice to say, I'm going to put God first in my life. Do you know that when somebody puts God first in their life, you will know it? Has anybody ever come to you and asked you about somebody else and said, are they saved? And you didn't know what to say? Have you ever been in that place? It's like, well, I think they're trying. We've got to do better than that, folks. We've got to do better than that. The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. When someone is sold out for God, you don't have to wonder. You don't have to question. You don't have to say, well, I think they have a profession. In other words, I think they have profession, but I don't see the fruit in their life. It's not for us to judge, but he said, mark the perfect man. And the perfect man is the one that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt they are seeking after the kingdom of God. Their allegiance, their first priority in life, they put God first. I want my end to be blessed this afternoon. The only way it can happen is if we also will seek first the kingdom of God. And I would ask you this morning, and you don't need to give me the answer, but are you seeking first the kingdom of God in your life? And you know, we as saints, we can sit in our pews and we can do this. We can go down this road of rationalization. We know that we're supposed to put God first. And so, yes, I know I am. So, yes, I know I'm supposed to. So, yes, sure I am. If we are putting God first, it makes a difference in the choices we make in our life. It means when we put God first, we sacrifice. We do some dying out. We do some giving up of some things that hinder our relationship with God. So if there are things in your life this morning that you know have been a spiritual hindrance, if you will choose this morning to seek first the kingdom of God, you're going to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to make some changes in my life. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I am going to involve myself in this because that's what God wants me to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. Too many times it seems like spiritual things get put on the back burner. Have you noticed that? Too many times, well, God just gets moved around and manipulated in our lives. And we try to work God around and fit Him into our life rather than taking our life and conforming it into the image that God wants it to be. Mark the perfect man. Number one priority is going to be seeking the kingdom of God. Well, but I'm busy. Do you know when you put something first, that is the object of your affection more than anything else? Do you know there is, all of us have a first in our life, men and women, children, we all have a first in our life. Would you concur? All right. So what's first in your life? You don't have to tell me. But what's first? That's where your heart is. That's what you will go to any expense. You will sacrifice. You will make the way to do what you want to do. How many times has something come up and someone said, oh, do you want to buy this or do this? You say, oh, I can't afford it. You know, heard people say they couldn't afford things, and I sat back and watched and went how they spent their money. I thought, you couldn't afford that, but you went and spent money on that? You know, you couldn't afford to do something useful, but there's no problem to go sit down and eat, spend $10 for a meal, and there's nothing wrong with that, don't misunderstand. But you couldn't afford to put some gas and go 30 miles to a meeting because you couldn't afford gas? But you can go sit down and spend $10, go to Taco Bell and go to meetings, see? You understand what I'm saying? Get a value meal and have some gas to go to camp meeting. But I can't afford it. And I'm not saying that's the situation for everybody that can't afford it. It's not an indictment. But my point is this. We do what we want to do. Something's going to come first in our money. Something we're going to spend our money on, something as little as it might be. It's going to go somewhere. And wherever it goes is what's first. And so many times we manipulate what God wants. And the Lord wants us rather to put Him first in every area of our life. When we get up for the day,
What are we going to do? Well, I'm so busy. I have so much to do. Is God first? Men, husbands, fathers. Is God first in our life? Or do we fit Him in? Our priority, number one, should be, Lord, I'm going to seek after You. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to seek Your righteousness. When you are in love, you pursue it. I wonder this morning how many men are pursuing God. We live in a time, folks, there are not very many. I'm thankful there are some. I want to pursue God this morning. Lord, whatever it takes, I want You to be the object of my heart. Scripture teaches us over in Luke 21, verse 34 and 35, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Folks, He said to take heed to yourselves. Do you want to be one of these perfect men this morning? Complete? We will be complete when we put God first in our life. And there is a snare that the enemy has laid for all of us, and it's called cares of life. Priority number two, and there's so much that can be said about number one, but the priority of the perfect man is a man that seeks God at his own expense. You see, people define, we heard some of this in Sunday school, I'm going to read a scripture we did in Sunday school as well. But people look at, what do you consider manliness? You know, is it how big the muscles, how high you can jump? You know, how tough you are? Is that what a real man is? I don't find that in the Bible at all. I find that a man is someone, a true man is someone that follows after righteousness. We heard in Sunday school, someone who's able and willing and who does humble himself and set an example of leadership, purity, godliness. That is true manhood this morning. I've told my boys multiple times, and I'm going to keep telling them, it doesn't take a man, it takes more power to say no to peer pressure than it is to give in and be part of the group. You say, well, we can, you know, you can go do the tough thing and be like everybody else. No, it takes more strength of character to say no out in the world and stand by yourself. That's, I want to do that for God this morning. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. Priority number two of the perfect man. What is it? It comes second only. It comes first in our life, the perfect man, second only to God Himself. What is it? It's family. I'm out working for my family, making a living for my family. Brethren, listen for a moment. What your family needs more than your money is you. Sisters, is that right? Thank you. What our families need even more than the living that we provide for them is us, we ourselves. A husband and a father that is gone working all the time and does not have time to spend with his wife and with his children. And all the time it's justified by saying, well, I'm out working, providing you a living. That ought to be enough. No, what our wives and our children need is they need a daddy at home and they need a husband to be there. That's what they need more. Priority number two of the perfect man, the one whose end, remember, is one of peace. First, seeking the kingdom of God. And second, someone that has put family above their own interests and their own desires. Scripture was read this morning, Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and did what? And gave Himself for it. You want to talk about the priority of a perfect man? Is a man who loves his wife just like Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do for the church?
He died for it. As fathers and husbands, we need to be willing. And not just willing. See, if we talk about willing, we're saying, yes, if the need arises. The need has arisen this morning. The need has arisen for men to give themselves and their love to their wives and to their children. You want your end to be blessed? Love your wife. Sacrifice your own interest for the welfare of your wife. Sisters, you don't have to say amen, but I trust you are in your heart. And brethren, I hope you will be willing to go out and be one of these perfect men. It means that your wife comes before your work. It means the welfare of your children comes before your interest. It means, and brethren, if you've I trust this doesn't fit anybody here, but if you're ever tempted, I want to give you a warning. Brethren, you get the paycheck. You know whose name is on that check? You bring it home and say, well, this was I earned it. Yet I have both of your names on it. She was there taking care of your children and washing your dirty clothes and providing a home for you. Do you want to trade jobs with her? All the men would say, no, I don't want to. When you bring home the money, that is a dual thing. That is for the family. That is for the efforts, a joint effort being one in Christ when we're married. And I believe this morning it is not right. A perfect man does not go out and buy his big toys. You know, they say the difference between a boy and a man is the size of his toys. Y'all have heard that. I guess this is a little, I feel a little righteous indignation. When I see husbands and fathers going out and buying their toys, and their wife needs a pair of shoes, and the children need clothes. Honey, things are really tight. We need to cut down on the budget. We need to cut down on the grocery bill. And that's the first place they start looking. The priority of a man who loves his wife and his family, as Christ loved the church, is going to be the one to look after their needs before his own interest. The end of that man is peace. Family before friends. Is that right? The perfect man. I've known people that have gotten married, and right after they get married, they go running off with their friends. Well, you know, when you get married, there is a place to give each other room. You still have friends. But when you get married, the perfect man is going to be the one that this, my family, is first. The emotional support and the love is needed at home. This morning, the priority, when we consider family, part of our responsibility, those of us that have children as fathers, it is to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's Scripture. The end of that man is peace this morning. But I'd like to present a question to the fathers this morning. I was thinking, I used to tell you all when we first moved here, I didn't have a little girl. So all I had was boys. That's changed. And it changes how I can talk now too. But you know, when it comes to who marries my daughter, I've got some opinions. And I just wonder to the fathers that have daughters this morning, how would you like when your daughters grow up and they get to that age, if your potential son-in-law had things in his life that you have in yours as a husband and as a father, what would you think about that young fellow coming and looking your daughter over? In other words, do you want someone being the husband of your precious daughter if you knew he was out doing the things that you're doing? Just a question. Do you want him to treat your daughter like you treat your own wife? Is that a fair question? Mark the perfect man. The priority is going to be, I want in my life to do the things that I want the man that marries my daughter to do. I want to be that kind of example. I want my children, can we say, I want my boys to be a husband just like me. Fathers, can you say that? If you can't, we need to make some adjustments today that we could set that kind of example, because it's not enough for what comes out of our mouth to teach our children. They learn by our example, and they should see that Dad is sold out to God and Dad loves his family, and that comes before everything else in life. And if that is not the testimony of our wife and children, brethren, we've got some work to do. Because I want my end to be one of peace. It was touched on this morning. I'm just going to mention it again. But do you remember there was a perfect man? We read about him in the book of Job. There was a man, it says, was perfect, and he was offering sacrifices for his children. He was interceding for his children. Brother Randy mentioned, I want to mention again, the spiritual leadership of the home rests primarily on the man, on the husband, and on the father. And there are too many fathers who are abdicating that responsibility to their wives, and I believe that's a reproach this afternoon. To mark the perfect man is the one who steps up and provides spiritual leadership in the home. I was thankful growing up. It was not a question with my father, are we going to church or not? That kind of question ought never to be asked. Are we going to church? What do you mean by that? I know there are situations and things that arise. Don't misunderstand me. But folks, our children learn by the decisions we make. And if they see that I am not fulfilling a place of spiritual leadership, do we expect them to do anything different when they get older? Do we expect them to do something when they get grown that we're not doing ourselves today? They are learning from our example. When they begin, family worship was mentioned. Brethren, I would encourage you to step up to the plate. It's not mama's job to always pray with the children. And I know maybe you can't always be there, but it ought to be a priority that this is family worship. This is time spent talking about the Bible, talking about practical things that our children face out in the world. Day-to-day things, temptations, battles, covers the gamut of issues. And I'll conclude. Third priority, we have a responsibility to work then, don't we? A man that does not provide for his own, 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There is a responsibility that God has given to the brothers to go out and earn a living, to support financially the work of the home. And I would say, though, that folks, part of that responsibility is not just providing today, it is thinking about tomorrow, the need for provision for our family tomorrow. And that means laying in store. It means saving. It means putting away for a rainy day. That's part of taking care of our family. And then there are hobbies. And there are things we enjoy doing, and there's nothing wrong with those. But folks, all of those things should always come behind God and family and the financial responsibilities that we have to provide for our home. Mark the perfect man. This is why thinking about family, if you'll allow me for a moment, thinking about family, it's why it's so important to take time from work to spend time with your family. Go places together. And you know, sometimes it costs something to do it. But do you know, our children are only with us for such a short time. What's more important than being able to maybe even buy the newer house or the newer vehicle or the newer... It is spending time with our children when they are young and impressionable and spending time together as a family. That's important. It may mean just going out for a walk in the evening. That doesn't cost anything. But taking the time to spend time together, folks, that is meaningful. And you do that, and you know what your end is going to be? It's going to be one of peace. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. I want to be at peace
when I get to the end of the road. I want to have heaven before me. That's going to take putting God first. But I also want to have family around me. You know, I want to have friends. I want to have you. When I get old and I'm in the nursing home and you pass by my town, would you come see me? But do you know it's going to take building relationships today? Anybody, any of y'all have in-laws? Yes? Take some time. That's your husband or your wife's family. They're important. Take time. You want your end to be one of peace. Friends, family, community. In your old age, not just heaven, but in this life, it's going to come by reprioritizing God first, family second, and you will find the blessings of God there.